before when I've been asked to share with you here at Rington. I was given a word one night whilst I couldn't sleep. I don't think I was laying awake because I was worried about coming to share with you again. Certainly not, as you're all pretty friendly. I certainly wasn't worried about that. No, I just felt that God was giving me some ideas he wanted me to share with you all. I say share because I believe it's for me as well. So, a new year. How exciting! Oh, good. Phew. You reacted. Good. I don't know about you. We're well into January, but it still feels quite new, doesn't it? You mentioned mince pies earlier, Alistair. I don't know about you, but some of us in Frampton, certainly Mick and I, are still wolfing our way through Christmas goodies at home. And I believe the Chinese New Year starts on the 1st of February this year. So the New Year hasn't arrived for many. I've written in brackets, for your information, it's the year of the... Any idea? That's my visual resource. It's the year of the tiger. I won't start singing it. What does the arrival of a new year mean for most people? Obviously, for the Chinese people, it hasn't actually come along yet. But it's usually really well celebrated, the Chinese New Year, isn't it? Maybe you all had parties. I don't know. We didn't, did we, Mick? No, but never mind. Often, the new year is the making of New Year's resolutions, which are usually impossible to sustain, absolutely impossible, and they result in feelings of guilt. Feelings of guilt and maybe falling back even further, deeper, into the very situations which we were trying to improve. I no longer make New Year's resolutions, so I can't feel guilty when I don't reach my target or let myself down. Because ultimately, that is what we do, isn't it? We usually make New Year's resolutions about ourselves. For example, I read recently about 60% of people who give up drinking go back within a week. That doesn't last very long, does it? Lots of folk I know take up something new at the beginning of a new year and look at it positively rather than negatively giving something up or trying to stop something. So for some, a new year means a new start altogether. Maybe the last year was rough for some of you. I don't know your circumstances. Certainly, 2021 was hard again for the majority of people. But it's now a time to say goodbye to that year and to look forward. A time to look forward with hope that this year will be better. So how can being a Christian help us with this? How can being a Christian help us to be positive about ourselves and another year ahead of us? The reading we had from 2 Corinthians 5 began with talking about God's love. Verse 14 says, "For Christ's love compels us." If we just look at those few words, they're pretty powerful, aren't they? We know that Christ loves us because it goes on to remind us that he died for us. Now, we've not long celebrated Christmas, and we know that God loves us because that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? Christmas is when he sent his son to die for us. He sent his son to die for us so that we can have a relationship with him just because he loves us and he wants us to be at one with him. Christ's love compels us. Compels. That's not a wishy-washy word, is it? If you look up the word compel in a dictionary, it brings up words like force and oblige. We really have no excuse where Christ's love is concerned. If we're claiming to be Christians, then we are aiming to be Christ-like. And we are compelled and driven by his love in our lives. Would you agree?
Yes.
Hooray. I wrote in brackets, pause for response. And if I hadn't got a response there, I would have said that sentence again, but I didn't have to. Verse 17 states, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Maybe now you can see where I'm going with this, where I think God was leading me to share with you this morning regarding a new year. It's generally a time of taking stock of where we are. I believe that God is asking us all this morning to just take some time to examine ourselves and assess our lives as Christians and the role we are playing. I mentioned that we've just celebrated Christmas, and in the Message version of John 3:16, it goes like this. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. As a child, like many of you, you probably learned that verse in a different version. But I love the fact that this one includes the word whole. What's the point of God sending Jesus to save us if we are not living whole lives, if we're just existing? God wants a whole life for us. I'm not here to bully you or to make you feel guilty in any way, but I believe I am here this morning to remind us, myself included, that God does indeed love us, wants us to be happy and live full lives alongside him. Hallelujah. God, I wish people at Zion would reply like that. Gonna have to work on them. I don't think God wants me to worry you about dieting, moderating your drinking, or getting fitter, or that some of those things might be on your list to do. But this morning, I think God wants us to take stock of our spiritual well-being by looking at how we are living and what we are doing. Are we living according to his will? Are we in tune with him? Are we in the right place, the place he wants us to be? How can we know what God wants for each of us? The Bible shows us how we should live, doesn't it? We've got the Ten Commandments, lots of different stories and words from Jesus. But I think God wants us to focus today on how do we know we are in the right place and doing what he wants at this point in our lives. Maybe he has been speaking to you for a while now about something. Often he puts ideas in our heads, doesn't he? Or he keeps bringing things up, or friends mention things. I'm sure you know what I mean. Oftentimes you have a little niggly feeling, or you're feeling a bit uneasy about something. Or that word again, you feel compelled to do something or be committed to doing something. Those of you who knew Stephen as your minister know that he's going to be leaving Zion next month officially. As a consequence, many of us are having to step in and do things which may have been his responsibility. And as a consequence, we have been thrust into positions, if you like, compelled or forced to do things which may challenge us or take us out of our comfort zones. But that is our situation. We are being shaken, if you like, by one person going away and being left without a minister as such. But I'm here talking to you this morning. You here at Rington may not be facing change like we are in Frampton, but I believe God does challenge all of us to reassess our positions or situations, personally or in our church situation or in your community. If this strikes a chord with one of you, then I think that what I've been asked to share is really from God. It certainly does no harm for all of us to take stock now and again, though. Search your hearts, have a word with God, listen and seek counsel from those you trust. Is what you are doing now within the church and elsewhere what God wants you to be doing? It may be that God does want you to carry on how you are, which is fine. If you are happy and at peace, how wonderful. Carry on. You're obviously along the right lines and continue to walk with him in harmony. However, it may be a time of change for some of you. I believe God may be telling someone here that it is time to step out and step away from what they've been doing and go in another direction. It's comforting, isn't it, to feel secure. To feel secure in a role or a position, especially if you've been doing it for a while. But as Christians, we are all on a journey that takes us in all sorts of directions and unexpected forays. We have to remember, however, that we are a family. And in families, sometimes there is movement, but also cooperation. Sometimes when we go off-piste, they're the times we're actually specially blessed or we see wonderful views. Sometimes a job one person does goes on to another who is growing up and into that position or gaining that ability to do it. Does that make sense to you? You see it in families all the time, don't you? As a church family, we learn from each other and work together. On occasion, that might mean somebody gracefully stepping aside, even though they are still capable of doing that job, but they need to step aside in order to bless somebody else and help another to grow. It can be painful to relinquish something we've been doing or holding on to for years. For some of us, it's easier to keep hold of something that might even be damaging to us or hindering us on our walk with Jesus than to give it up. If that's you, talk to someone or seek some prayer to help you let go of that. I firmly believe that we all have our parts to play and we are all valued. One of the things I do at Zion is I lead a midweek fellowship group. And one of our members, an older lady, has shared on several occasions that she felt useless because she can't do what she used to do. Now, I was brought up to respect my elders, but actually, I'm afraid I did tell her off quite sternly. She certainly wasn't useless. She was a valued member of our church. It's just that her role has altered a bit from what it used to be. She was an asset and still is to the congregation in that she prays for them and emails, and she's a great source of encouragement. Who knew what others were able to achieve due to her faithful prayers and voiced praises? our passage stated in verse 17, that as we are new creations in Christ, the old has gone and the new has come. Is there a new for you this year? Just saying, I'm the messenger. As well as relinquishing something, we may be being asked to take on something. There are many, many reasons or excuses we give for avoiding something that we feel God is asking us to do, aren't there? You know, the devil loves it when we are apathetic, doesn't he? When we just sit there. It means we're not doing God's work. I know I have to repent of this frequently. I'm a very great prevaricator. If we're truthful, we don't take things up a lot of the time because we are afraid. We are afraid of failure, of not doing things perfectly. We believe the lies we've been fed in the past, telling us that we are not good enough. I've got a very, very dear older friend who has a problem because she had a really, really bad upbringing and she felt unloved. She is the most wonderful lady you could ever meet, but she's just got no confidence and she's held on to that all her life, really. And I was privileged to pray with her on Friday. I don't know, it's going to take a long time, I think. She was very honest with me, but you know, we can hold on to things for years that hold us back. And it's just silly. Well, it's not silly, because when you're younger, you believe things, don't you? But they're not the truth. Not the truth at all. I've got news for you. Actually, it probably isn't news. You probably already know it, but you've been denying it to yourself. If God wants you to do something, then he will enable you and equip you to do it. Woohoo! Suzanne Farnham, a Christian author, said, God often calls us to do things we do not have the ability to do. Spiritual discernment is knowing if God calls you to do something, God empowers you to do it. Just think of all those people you know throughout history, all those small people you've heard about in the Bible who God has used to do amazing things. None of those people were perfect, but they were obedient. They were obedient. Perhaps some of them weren't even the best people for the job, but God had used them. To name a few, I can name Jesus' mother, Mary. She was a young but faithful girl, wasn't she? She wasn't even married. But look what she did. Mother Teresa was a poor, diminutive woman, but she wrought great change in India amongst the poor. King David, he had a pretty checkered past, didn't he? He sinned again, but God, he loved God, and God still used him. So, really, have you got any excuse not to do what you think God is calling you to do? Simple word, no. No, you haven't, you know. If God wants you, he'll tell you. If you say no, he'll probably tell you again in lots of different ways. But as I said, I'm not here to have a go at you this morning. I'm just here to say God wants you to have a look at yourself. Reassess where you are with him, what you're doing. If you think you're doing the right thing and you're at peace, fine. Sometimes we need to have a rest, and that's okay. And that's what being part of a family is all about. But sometimes we stay in places because we think, no one else could do what I'm doing. I am really needed. But actually, if you're tired and you feel you need a rest, God will raise someone else up to fill that gap. And he will give you that time of rest you need. If you're feeling a bit lethargic, God will probably use a cattle prod and just point you in the right direction. I've known loads of people over my life, and I'm sure you have too, who have been the most unlikely people to do things. My home church, when Mick and I first got married, we lived in a little village called Ivory in Bucks, and there was an older couple who became Christians quite late in life through going to Spring Harvest one year. They'd been going to the church for ages, but it was just, you know, didn't mean much to them. And then they just changed, and they took on the youth group, and they were so successful because they were so alive for Christ. God uses all sorts of people. Just ask him what he wants you to do. So, to close, staying close to the Lord, being honest with ourselves, and trusting God. Let us all seek in 2022 to live as new creations in Christ, seeking his will. Because let's face it, you're not really happy if you're not at one with God. Be honest, you're not, are you? You just don't feel at ease. You've always got that something in your heart that's missing. Let's earnestly seek to get the right balance in life, knowing where to hold on and where to let go, knowing that God does provide for all the seasons of our lives, equipping us for what he wants us to do. And let's remind ourselves to love each other and be encouragers to each other, compelled by God's love.